Proverbs chapter 31 in your Bibles this morning. Proverbs chapter 31. I have always believed that a good marriage happens when two good people get together, and it takes two. The fact of a long marriage speaks of the quality of the people joined together. Proverbs chapter 31, let's begin reading in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. Let me give you a West Texas translation of that. She makes biscuits and gravy every night. And a portion to her maidens. There are several critical areas of marriage. Year one is critical because of the adjustments that have to be made. Leaving home, living with someone who is not your family, a new person with strange habits. What a lot of you ladies got was a recliner that burps, or worse. Year five is critical. The new has worn off everything, the toaster and everything else you received as wedding gifts is broke. Towels are frayed along with nerves. Year 20 is critical. Men are about 40 now, and many of them go crazy. Your kids are full-fledged teenagers driving cars, and maybe for the first time you realize how expensive your kids are. Little boys can sure be sweet. This little boy of three was sent to his room early. He marched off without a protest, but in a few minutes he was back carrying his favorite stuffed animal, a piggy bank, and some clothes. He announced, "I'm running away from home." His dad said, "What are you going to do when you get hungry?" "Well, I'm going to come home to eat." "What will you do when you run out of money?" "Well, I'll come home and get some more." "What are you going to do when your clothes get dirty?" "I'll bring them home and let Mama wash them." Dad turned to Mom and said, "This kid isn't running away from home. He's going to college." A strong marriage is built because you've survived job pressures. Most of us started our marriage very, very broke, and sometimes it got worse. But you stuck it out. You made it work. And looking back, those were good years. You only had each other, a very small place to live, and no money. But having each other was all that really mattered. You survived the kids with some semblance of sanity. Now you are enjoying the emptiness syndrome. They said it would take a while for you to make the adjustments. It took Tina and I about 10 minutes. You're getting older now, and you have survived life. As our bodies get older, they get weaker. Sight is not as good. Hearing is not as good. Your memory's just about shot. You get clumsier. It's all a part of life. And yet, you're together. There have been great joys and great sorrows. You are today's heroes. You have survived because of the blessing and hand of God on your life. So this morning, we honor marriage, and I have three thoughts. First of all, marriage in the heart of God. Go with me to Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. Let's begin reading in verse 6. Mark chapter 10, verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Those verses tell me some things. First of all, God's best plan is for marriage. When we look at the Genesis account of creation, God looked at this universe and he said, "It is good." The first time God said something was not good was when he looked at man and he said, "It's not good that man should be alone." So God took a rib from Adam and made Eve, and also made Adam's life complete. The woman was to be the completer of this entire universe. God's plan for the betterment and the satisfaction of the human race is a man and woman walking together in love. Second of all, something that we used to take for granted, we can no longer take for granted. It was male and female. It was Adam and Eve. A biblical marriage is a man and a woman. A biblical marriage is a man and a woman. Third, they two shall be one flesh. Two become one. They are glued together. They cleave to each other. A man and a woman are to leave their birth home, their birth family, and commit themselves to each other for life. And your marriage is to model Christ's love for the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. Your love for your wife is to be a picture of how Christ loves the church. So how could that ever be broken? Fourth, divorce is not to be an option for Christians. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Four things you need to consider before divorce is a part of your life. First of all, divorce is displeasing to God. Could I be more emphatic about that? According to Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says God hates divorce. Certainly God has allowed divorce for two reasons: desertion by an unbeliever and adultery. God is tolerant in divorce, but his perfect will is that two people glue themselves together for life. Second of all, divorce disrupts the family. Divorce always brings heartbreak, not only to husbands and wives, but especially to children. The greatest security children have is to know that their mother and their father love each other. And divorce nullifies that. Third, divorce mars our testimony as Christians. if believers cannot stay out of the divorce court, what does that say to the world? Does it say that Jesus Christ does not make much difference in our life? I'm just asking. Fourth, divorce isn't necessary. It's not the only solution. When two people seek God's help and sincerely want their marriage to work, they will find that it can. Beauty and blessing can be restored to homes in which husbands and wives are truly willing to admit that they were wrong and then to ask forgiveness. Second of all, marriage in the heart of each other. Back in Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. Isn't that what a marriage really is? Two people whose hearts trust each other. What is greater in life than that? What I have discovered after 50 years of being married to Tina is I can trust her to walk beside me. And we trust each other. The next verse says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's what trust is built upon. I have found you to be faithful to me. God brought you together to meet each other's needs. That's what love is, meeting one another's needs, ladies and gentlemen. It is so wonderful to hear couples say, we need each other. My life is complete because of her, because of him. I trust her. I love her. And that's what that verse says. The heart of her husband trusts her. There's so much frivolous talk about marriage today. But when you love someone, don't be frivolous about that. Two people who are made for each other. Two people who trust each other. Two people who need each other. That's marriage in the heart of you. Pastor Ross Blowers pastored a large church in Indianapolis. He was president of his church's denominational convention. And he retired a few years ago. When he did, he was asked, what is the greatest accomplishment of your ministry? Here's what he said. I'm most proud of the fact that I never had to go into my children's bedroom and try to explain to them why I had been unfaithful to their mother. That's a great quote. Several years ago, the blue suede shoes man, you know who that is? Carl Perkins, he died. He said, you know what? I never envied Elvis, his mansions, and all that. All of those boys, Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and Roy Orbison, I understand I am dating myself. Okay. They all lost their wives and their families. People say, what happened to you, Carl? All of them went on to superstardom. Where did you go? You know what Carl Perkins said? I went home, and that's a good place to be. Solomon said in Proverbs 5:18, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Be ravished always with her love. That's marriage in the heart of each other. Last of all, marriage in heaven. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Probably not what you're thinking. Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. What's he talking about? The Lamb, of course, is Christ. The wife is the redeemed church. It's interesting. Your Bible opens with a marriage in the Garden of Eden. It closes with a marriage between Jesus Christ and His people who have been redeemed. You may not have grown up in a home where the marriage was good. Your own record of marriage might not be that good. And I'm sorry if that's the case. But may I invite you to a marriage that is everything a marriage should be. When Jesus Christ returns in the air, all those saved will be taken to heaven, and there a wedding will take place between Jesus Christ and the church. The church is referred to often as the bride of Christ, and Christ is referred as the bridegroom. All the details are not known, but it seems to me that the Jewish wedding is a pattern of that marriage. Here's the progression. The promise of the wedding. That's the betrothal period. All of us are in that period right now. If you are saved, it's like we are engaged, waiting for the ceremony to take place. Second of all, the bridegroom comes to where she lives, to take her to where he lives. That's a picture of the rapture. We meet in the air, and then he takes us to where he lives. John chapter 14 says it this way, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Third, the wedding takes place in the bridegroom's family home. That's heaven, ladies and gentlemen. And then last of all, the wedding supper takes place after the ceremony. It would last a week. How long does the marriage supper last in heaven? Well, the Bible doesn't say. But one commentator said it lasts 1,000 years during the millennium. That sounds good to me. The question this morning is this. Are you ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Are you born again? Are you redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful thought about marriage. Not only the earthly marriages that we have, and what a wonderful thing that is. Oh, God, help us. Help our marriages to be everything that you want them to be. Thank you for our sweet wives. They put up with so much. And dear Father, I am so grateful the sweet wife that you've given to me. Father, I ask your hand to be upon her as she recovers from that car accident. Father, we ask that you might speak to hearts today as we anticipate that marriage that is to take place in heaven between our Lord and his church. Oh, Father, thank you. I just ask that you might speak to each one of our hearts. If we have been born again, maybe we ought to be the first one to come down to this old-fashioned altar and say, oh, God, thank you for saving my soul. And dear Father, if there's someone here that's never been saved, may they come and allow us to show them how to go to heaven. We're not asking them to join this church. We just want to show them how to go to heaven. And we can do that. So, Father, please speak to hearts this morning. Thank you for saving our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation song.